Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Raven's Real Spill Radio. This is your girl, Raven, the Serial Poet, coming to bring to y'all another night of horror. So I hope everybody had a beautiful Sunday. I know I did, in fact. I ended up cooking some good old Cajun food. These Florida people don't know nothing about it. So I ended up doing that. And I ended up redecorating my room because soon a change is going to come. But stay tuned for that. This is day three. If you missed the other two nights, make sure y'all go back and listen to them because, you know, they're going to stay in rotation. They're going to be there for you to replay all month long if you just want to put it on and just go about your day cleaning and stuff. You could do that too, but, you know, make sure you listen to your girl. Make sure you follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Raven's Real Spill and Raven the Serial Poet. Show your girl some love. So I'm not going to hold any more of y'all time. If you want to call in, the number is 914-205-5813. That is 914-205-5813. We're going to get into these horror tales. Stay tuned.
This happened around 2015 when I was working in a cute, fancy little boutique hotel. It had six substantial rooms and often had big names stay. I worked, doing a bit of everything. Guest assistance, reception, service in the restaurant, drinks. Whatever was needed, really. One of the line cooks was from Eastern Europe, was in about his mid-40s and worked full-time. He was overly friendly with me, to the point of making me feel uncomfortable, commenting on how I looked, staring too long, standing too close, touching me whenever opportunity arose, just on the arms, back, shoulder, with a palm. Nothing overly outrageous, but there was a creepy feel about it. To give you a picture, I'm 5'2" and slight build. This guy was tall, about 6'5", and had a broad, strong build. He looked like he worked out. English was his second language, but he spoke it fluently. Often he would stand close to me or stand between me and my exit and give me compliments, staring at my chest and saying,
"Wow, you're good. Guys must love you."
And,
"You're so beautiful."
And,
"I love your legs in the uniform. You should always wear a skirt with those legs."
Yada yada, etc. Making me feel super queasy. He was also a born-again Christian and loved to recite random scriptures to me because he knew I grew up Catholic and figured for some reason I would appreciate it. I did let him know I wasn't religious, and he volunteered that he has only recently become a born-again Christian. I asked him what made him turn to the Lord and really wish I hadn't. His response,
"It doesn't matter what you have done in the past, no matter what. When you become born again, you get a clean slate and forgiveness."
He had the creepiest smile when he said this and was staring at me with his head lowered, if you can get that sinister image I mean. It was full on weird. This guy has done some messed up stuff. I have zero evidence of this other than he gave those vibes. Anyways, I went on a holiday for a few weeks. And on my first shift back, I'm setting up the restaurant for the evening dinner, and he shows up to work his shift. He comes up behind me, and with his mouth and nose against the edge of my neck, he breathed me in. I could feel his warm, icky breath. He smelled and inhaled me and said,
"I've missed your smell."
It was gross. I just gave a weird, awkward smile and ushered away. I went down to the office to take a second to chill. My GM was in there at the time, and he asked me what was up. I told him what happened, but said it wasn't a big deal, that I was fine and just wanted a second to chill. He was like, "Hell no," and went up to the kitchen and fired this guy on the spot. He came back and told me I had nothing more to worry about. That was it. Never saw him again. I did kind of fear him trying to get back at me. But nope. That was a really good shift that night. It felt great to see my boss stick up for me like that.
So when I was about 10, we'd recently moved into a new home in a sparsely populated rural area. We set up motion-sensing lights and cameras with door alarms at every entry point. So there were a lot of stray dogs around my area, and I took to feeding them 2 to 3 times a day. My parents didn't like dogs, but let me play with them anyway. I ended up forming a close bond with this tall, big white dog who I called Ghost. He followed me on my walk to school. So one day at around 7 to 8 p.m., I was home alone since 4 p.m. until 10 p.m., I had a bag of dog biscuits and a cell phone in my hand when I walked out to put out dinner in the bowl outside my house for the stray puppies in the nearby field. I noticed a car parked exactly outside my house, a few feet down from my compound wall. Once I emptied the biscuits, I turned around to find the car pulled up next to me and the driver asking me if my parents were home. He was their friend and wanted to talk to them. I innocently replied, saying that they weren't and they'd be home soon, and asked for his name. He got out of the car and walked towards me, talking all the while. I felt nervous and walked into the main gate. This man wedged his shoe between the metal gate and said, "You're home alone, aren't you?" with a creepy smile. I was frozen with fear and made a mad dash into the main door, slamming it shut behind me. He stood outside in my yard, looking straight into my eyes with that smile. I panicked, and started running around and shutting all the doors in a frenzy. I didn't have a phone, and the landline hadn't been set up yet, as it was a newly constructed house, so stupid 10-year-old me thought my parents would be home soon anyway. Now, the cell phone I mentioned earlier didn't have a SIM card. I'd just been given a hand-me-down phone to play games on. I saw him get into his car and go away in a few minutes, so I relaxed and sat in my hall playing Minecraft on my PC. There was this huge glass window, a French window, I guess they call it, behind where I was sitting. After another half an hour, I had that weird feeling, like someone was in the house with me. I turned around to see creepy man standing outside the French window with a long stick and pole, looking dead straight into my eyes. I let out a scream and pressed the alarm button in the hall. The alarms went off outside the house, and it seemed to trigger the weirdo at my window, and he started attempting to break the window with his stick. I was crying in fear and ran and hid under my dining room table. This creep had jumped the compound wall and would have broken the glass windows in less than 5 minutes to gain entry to the house. I shut my eyes and ears and hoped my parents would be home soon. Stupid, childish me. I heard a growling noise, and I looked to the window to find that stray dog, Ghost, with his jaws around this guy's leg and dragging him off balance. He began beating the dog with the stick that he'd been carrying, terrifying me further. Hearing the commotion, the neighbors, who probably called the cops, arrived and managed to restrain this weirdo. I was barely coherent at this time and refused to communicate with them, hiding under the apparent safety of my dining room table. My parents arrived at around 9 p.m. accompanied by the police, who arrived almost an hour late. They took him away, and we still don't know who or why he attempted his antics that night. I was never left alone at home after this incident, and my parents became dog lovers overnight. We even adopted Ghost, and he lived a good long life at our farmhouse at a different location, but to this day I still love dogs and strays around my neighborhood, and I do my best to take care of them.
For years I've been paranoid about changing near or around a window. I think it all leads back to the story that I'm about to tell you. For the record, I'm a female, and this happened to me 10 years ago when I was 13. My parents had divorced when I was 1, and my brother was 3, so we would visit my dad in his mobile home every weekend. It was the summer before I started 8th grade, and I was at my dad's house with my brother for the weekend. My dad had to take my stepmom to a doctor's appointment that was right down the street for a few hours. He had done this before because we had cell phones and we never really left the house because we didn't really have any friends over at my dad's. My brother is 2 years older than I am, so he was considered the responsible one. We had a routine that we would follow every time we visited my dad. Get up and sneak whatever breakfast we could before our stepmom got up, and then I'd watch a movie in my room and my brother would play the Xbox in his room, which was right next to mine. I had just finished up watching Live Free or Die Hard when I decided to get dressed and start my chores. The way that my room was set up, I had a rolled bunk bed pressed against the window so that my feet would be facing the window and my head would be near the door. The TV was right across from that, so there was only a little narrow area in the middle where I could walk or get dressed. My dog Chester was on the bottom bunk laying in what little sun came into my room. As I was finishing putting my t-shirt on, I noticed that Chester had sat up, looking towards the window. He slowly moved towards it, and then started to growl. Now, my dog wasn't really that intimidating, and he really only barked whenever he was excited or when someone knocked on our door, but I had never heard him growl before, like ever. Immediately, I was on alert, really unsure of what was going on. I got as close to the far wall as I could, and then looked out the window. I didn't see anything, and I tried to calm him down, but me getting closer to the window seemed to only get him even more protective. Right after I had walked away was when you get that really bad feeling you get when you just know you're being watched. As I turned, I saw a right hand come up to the glass on my window, and then pause right before the left one joined it. I froze in place when finally a face appeared that I had recognized. It was my neighbor that was 5 houses down from us. He had always given me the creeps, and I guess my intuition was right. He was looking around my room when his eyes finally landed on me. He gave me this really eerie smile and he gestured for me to come to the window. I just shook my head and reached for the baseball bat that I had on my wall. My dog was going absolutely apeshit seeing this guy look at me, now snarling and lunging at the window. The guy tried to slide open my window, and that's when I yelled for my brother. I think that the man thought I was home alone because the horror that came across his face when my brother ran in then made him realize he couldn't do anything to me. He took off running down the street to his house while my brother and I shouted at him from the porch while my dog was fighting to try and get past us to chase him. My brother and I sat on the couch after that and talked about what happened. We pretty much both agreed that it would just be smarter to never tell our dad about it and that I was never to walk near his house. The only thing that I really regret from this incident was that our other neighbor that my stepmom was really close with was actually attacked by him a few months later. I had felt that because I didn't say anything that I had actually allowed it to happen. Luckily she wasn't hurt, but when I told her about the man and what he did, she gave me a hug and she agreed that it wasn't something to tell my dad, but that she would handle it. I guess she did, because a year later he was then gone and I never saw him again after that. I only really told my dad's mom about the incident when she had moved into the house and I was already 21 years old and didn't stay the weekends anymore. I told her to never tell my dad because I just knew how he'd react. Well, that didn't happen, and later that night, my dad ended up chewing me out for not telling him. I told him that if he knew what had happened, my weekend visits to him would have been in prison because he probably would have gone over to the man's house and killed him. He agreed, but he wanted me to tell the full story to him and my stepmom. Despite how long ago this was, I'm still really afraid I'll see him again. That he'll end up being a dot on a map near my house, or that I'll wake up with him peering through my window. Due to this event, it really turned me into a really paranoid person. Anytime there's a little sound near the window whenever I'm getting dressed, I kid you not, I'm always reaching for something to fight for my life. If it wasn't for my dog and the fact that I changed so fast, who really knows what the man would have tried to do to me or what he would have seen when he looked in my window. To everyone out there, please stay vigilant and always trust your gut.
I know California gives off the whole sunset and palm trees vibe, but I've never experienced the type of stuff I have since moving here 3 years ago. While it's beautiful and I hope to get a house and be here for life, I've never been forced to take my rose-colored glasses off so quickly. This is the second run-in I've had with a creepy man that had me realizing that, in an instant, everything could change forever. This actually happened to me a few hours ago, and I'm still shaken up about it. Hopefully by sharing it, it will help me feel more at ease. I've recently started taking Ariel Silks classes, and I absolutely love it. This is my first time going on a Saturday. The area is a bit rural, especially with so many of the local businesses closed during quarantine, but it didn't strike me as dangerous by any means. As I'm leaving my second class ever at this location, I notice a guy walking past. He's wearing all black, but nothing about him just screams danger. I'm talking to my husband on the phone, trying to decide if I wanted to go jog on the beach or if I just wanted to join him at home since he's off early for the first Saturday in months. We wrapped up the conversation, and I decided just to go to the grocery store and then go home since my muscles are beginning to ache as well. Thankfully, I'm an avid listener to Let's Read, and one of the main habits I picked up from others' experiences is to lock your car door as soon as you get in. I forgot to mention that I did that as soon as I saw the guy in black walk by, but I waited for him to pass so he didn't get offended. Going forward, I don't care. I'll lock my door immediately no matter who's nearby. So I'm looking up recipes on my phone, trying to compare what I have at home versus what I need to pick up. My endorphins are going after an awesome workout. It's a sunny day, my man's home early. I just feel good and in the moment. Until suddenly I get this feeling to look up. As I look up at my driver's side mirror, I see a black shirt and jacket move from lying flat against my car to standing straight. I automatically know who that is, and I start my car yelling, "Let me get on, because I'll run the city over if I have to." As I'm saying this, he's just standing at my window, slowly lifting his finger. It seems like he was trying to say something along the lines of, "Can I just talk to you for a minute?" But in reality, it looked like he was trying to phone home like E.T. As I was pulling out, I immediately called my husband, and as I'm trying to process what happened, I get this strong feeling in my gut that he was pulling on my car handle, but I had it locked, and that's what gathered my attention and made me look up. I consider myself to be a nice person and will try to give the benefit of the doubt to most people, but there's no denying his malicious intent. From walking past the first time, to seeing I'm still there, to being pressed against my car, to the weird, what I took as him being nervous he got caught, finger-pointing, to the fact that as I was pulling off, he didn't look back at me or anything. He looked over into the building my class was in, then walked back behind the building as though it never happened. I know this is not as big as other experiences on this thread, but this still has me shaken up hours later, and I hate it because I genuinely enjoy this class, but I don't want to catch old boy again, especially since every other class is at night. Only Saturdays is midday. I'm trying not to think about what creepy people like him have in mind, or what their next steps are. But I can't help but wonder, and it terrifies me every time, that one day if I get caught slipping, that could be the end of my story. I will say once I got home, I gave my husband the biggest and longest hug and prayed to God, thanking for him to allow me to just take this experience as a lesson learned, as well as expressing gratitude for being able to return home at night. Please, always lock your car doors as soon as you get in your car, and don't just linger around in your car, especially if you're in an unknown area. I've gotten a bit better about doing this, but let my guard down since it was midday and the door to my aerial silks class was literally 300 feet away.
Several years ago, when I was 25 years old, I lived with, at the time, one of my best friends. Our friendship eventually started to dwindle, so she was rarely home. This night, however, she ended up staying at our place and then heading to bed pretty early. I was a server at the time, so I stayed up pretty late, usually watching YouTube and smoking pot. This night was no different than any other, except for the fact that my neighbors actually tried to kidnap me. I'll go ahead and give you some background information on my house and my neighbors. We lived in a three-bedroom house with two bedrooms and the kitchen facing the crazy neighbors. They were a younger couple living in a smaller mill house. They were constantly coming to our door asking for handouts. Now, normally I'd be really happy to help a neighbor out, but they would come over and ask for crazy things like for us to fill up an old Mountain Dew bottle with water because theirs had shut off or something, as well as for beer, and they once literally asked us for a dollar. They would consistently be knocking at our door to ask for help, and whenever we wouldn't answer, I would peek through the window to either see them jacking cigarette butts from the ashtray or pressing their eyeballs against the door peephole to see if they could spot us. It was really strange. Anyway, there I was smoking some weed and watching some YouTube on my couch when I then heard a knock at the door. I rolled my eyes because I knew exactly who had came knocking. It was 11 p.m. and I checked the peephole. And sure enough, it was the boyfriend right on my porch. Normally, I'd just walk away and continue with my life, but he looked like he was in distress this night. So I opened the door to see what was up.
"Hey, I just wanted to come over and see if you would film my engagement. I got my girlfriend a ring here in my pocket, and I need you to follow me to my backyard and film it for me."
Baffled, but really curious, I told him congrats and said that I'd be out in just a second, and just needed to put my shoes on. I shut the door behind me, then locked it. Quickly, I ran into the back room that looked out into their backyard. I started peeking through the blinds to see the setup. Nothing. It was pitch black darkness. There was absolutely no sign of decorations or anything like that. Now naturally, I woke up my roommate to tell her what was going on. Yeah, screw that," she said to me. And we both walked back up to the door after the boyfriend started banging on the door. I looked through the peephole again. I couldn't really see anything and I was really confused. That is, until I saw him pull his eyeball away from the peephole. I quickly turned around and then put my back right up against the door. My roommate came running back to the door from her room holding two wire hangers for protection. We both just clung onto the hangers and sat up against the door until he finally left. We were so freaked out, but we wanted to make sure that we weren't overreacting. we decided to go out our back door and hopped into her car so we could do a drive-by. They always had their front door open, and they also didn't have any blinds, so it was really easy to see in their house. Very slowly, we crept by in her car and peered into the living room. Sitting on the couch and all staring at the wall was there the couple and the older man. We sped off, and we ended up staying at a friend's house that night. I never answered the door for either of them ever again. One day I came home from work, and there was an older lady that was parked in their driveway. She walked up to me as I got out of my car and asked if I knew where the neighbors were. I told her that I hadn't seen them in quite a while, and she informed me that she was the owner of the house. She told me that they were months late on rent and had finally came to evict them. She entered the home to find it completely trashed, needles and garbage all over the place, holes in the wall, and literally shit on the floor. I told her I was really sorry to hear that she had to deal with all that, but that I was happy they were finally gone. I'm really not 100% sure what was going on that night, but I'm really glad that I didn't follow him to the backyard. Who the hell knows what they actually had planned?
So, I'm a Pokemon Go player. I was a mild fan of the franchise as a kid, and now, in my mid-20s, I find that it allows me to get out of the house more often and do something that doesn't involve, well, my house. If you've played the game, you know that there are all these places called gymnasiums, where you can place one of your Pokemons to earn a max of 50 in-game coins per 24 hours. These coins can buy important in-game items, as well as cosmetic items, and, as you may have guessed, it's quite the popular feature in the game. However, since I live in a huge European city, there are many, many players to compete with in order to secure a spot at these gyms. The reason I'm telling you all of this is to let you know why in the world would I brave the cold winter of my metropolitan city at 3 a.m. You see, it's not just that I'm stupid. It's also because I know most folk are asleep, which in turn allows me to quickly defeat all the Pokemon in a gym and place my own. I have been doing this for a few months and have been quite successful. So tonight, the routine was the same. Got dressed, got my coat, my scarf, and my black leather gloves. I went out and made my way to the first of three gyms in my area that I usually conquer in the game. It's actually quite fascinating to observe the people that wander the city at these hours. Well, tonight I was going to meet a special guy. I arrive at my first gym, which is in a smallish street that curves to the right for quite a stretch. I empty it and place my own Pokemon inside. Afterwards, I linger around the area, taking off a glove to scratch my hand, but overall just managing the game and looking things up. Some cars go by, and that's when I see him. This guy, clearly over 180 centimeters, making his way down the street. Now, these are just my country standards, but everything about him screamed, "Thug, ready to knife you." Sporting a black cap at night, concealing his face with a shadow. Padded black jacket with dirty blue jeans and ripped off Timberland boots. My immediate reaction was to keep it cool and neutral and just calmly place my cell phone back in my pocket. As he went past me, he gave me this "what the f are you looking at" look, and I couldn't help but give back a small sideways glance as I put my glove back on my hand. I started walking towards the next gym, which happened to be in the same direction he was walking towards, and he, to my surprise, started speeding up. Then he pulled out his cell phone and tried to phone someone. This immediately reminded me of my girlfriend, as this is a common tactic she uses when she feels she's being followed by strangers. Whoever he tried to phone, however, did not pick up. He looks back at me, keeps walking, increasingly faster. He switches side and starts walking in the middle of the road, effectively distancing himself further and allowing the parked cars to get between me and him, and then abruptly he stops. He turns around and asks, "Hey friend, you know I can find transportation at this hour." I'm kind of weirded out and freaking out at the same time, so without even looking at him, I just said, "This hour? Only Uber." He starts walking, only when I walk past him. Then it hit me. From my perspective, he was a thug-looking dude that could have very well tried to rob me and potentially harm me. But from his perspective, I'm a 171-centimeter dude in his mid-20s that for some reason decided to pocket his phone on the moment he went past me, then gave him a sideways what-the-f-are-you-looking-at glance as I put on a black leather glove and started following him, with not a single person awake around, looking like some sort of hitman or serial killer. As anxious as I was, he must have been terrified enough to try to phone someone, or pretend to, and then initiate dialogue with a total stranger at 3 a.m., just to be sure that I wasn't some psycho about to knife him. We walked together in the same direction for almost 10 minutes after that, without looking or talking to one another. Just two awkward guys who did not want to meet one another ever again.
I love Modern Warfare, and I usually play for hours on end. If you don't know what that is, it's a Call of Duty game. My name is Michaela, and a few months ago, I had a really bad experience due to playing Call of Duty. I usually play with my friends Mimi, Yaya, and Maya in Hardcore Team Deathmatch, or Warzone. I'm not really that good, and possibly the worst of my friends. There was one Saturday where it was raining and storming all day, so we literally played for about 15 hours straight. Late that night, everyone was getting tired but me. Then this guy joined one of our games. His name was Probe Master. This man kept whispering in a mic like some weirdo or something. Then all of us received requests through PSN. I'm the only one that actually accepted it. I stayed on the game while everyone went to sleep. Every match, I'd hear this guy whispering, but he kept camping in the game, so his KD was very low. One game I did horrible. Then this guy sent me a message saying that I'll put up impressive numbers, but my overall ratio was 0.20. I know I suck, but this guy would not stop talking about how good I was. Just be polite. I would say thank you. So a few weeks go by, and this guy would constantly jump in my Call of Duty games, and every Friday, he would send me a message saying, I hope you have a good weekend, like some creeper, because I would never respond. Well, until one day. He jumped in the game as my friends and I were in a free-for-all game. After the first game, he played with us in some randoms. He said, good game, guys. Especially you, Michaela. All of my friends stopped talking. Then Maya asked me how this guy knows my name, and I said I don't know because my username isn't even close to my real name. Then she attempted to ask him, but he wasn't on anymore. 3 days later, and this guy still hasn't logged back on. I even sent him a message asking him how he knew my name. No response. I was a little worried. Not for him, but just wondering how he knew my real name. Maybe he guessed it. So again, one day I get home, open up my blinds, relax a little, and I started playing Modern Warfare in my living room. I threw on my hoodie to get more comfortable. Everyone was playing except for Malia. We didn't know where she was. So I'm sitting there waiting for the next game to load, and I receive a text that says, Michaela? With a question mark from a number I didn't know. I can tell it was an iPhone because I replied with, yeah, who is this? And it turned blue, and the person immediately read it with no response. I looked up at my TV because I heard a camera sound, and I noticed a flash. I need to mention that the window was about 6 or 7 feet behind me to the right, and that's where it came from. Then I received a text message from the same number. It was a photo of me, taken from outside the window. I was stuck. I looked at the reflection on my TV. I could see a man standing on the outside of my window. I turned around and the man started clawing at the screen, trying to get in the living room. I yelled for my dad and he started running downstairs. Before my father got to the room, the man ran away. My father ran outside, but the guy was gone. One of my neighbors got a good look at him and helped with the sketch. I also showed the text messages to the cops. This guy just simply disappeared. I haven't seen him on the game and haven't received text messages anymore. He's never been found. That situation keeps me on my toes. Just be careful.
I'm going to take you back a few years to when I was working at McDonald's. For context at the time, I was a 16-year-old female. Now at the McDonald's I worked at, when you are on headset, you answer people at the drive-thru. You are normally required to be at the first window to also take payment. My job position was customer care manager at the time, so my job was to be on the front desk, but 99% of the time, they required me to be behind tills. So I was having a normal day, working a long shift, but having a normal work day. I happened to be on headset, and first window that day too. My headset buzzes, letting me know there's someone at my drive-thru lane. I go through to the first window to answer my customer, and this is how the conversation ensued. Hello, welcome to McDonald's, what can I get you? Oh wow, you got a beautiful voice. His voice was grunty and husky sounding. Not off-putting, we have all sorts of customers come through McDonald's every day, so it didn't give me the creeps or anything. Thank you, sir, how very flattering. What can I get you? I haven't decided yet. There's a long pause here. Can I come to the first window to decide? I want to see who I'm talking to. Now, we weren't very busy at this point. The creeper hadn't actually creeped me out. I mean, all he'd done was pay me a compliment, and we quite often had people complaining that they preferred face-to-face contact, so this certainly wasn't out of the blue or unusual. Yeah, sure, sir, that's fine. Wow, you're as beautiful as you sound. Thank you, sir. Have you decided what you're going to order? Are you an option? I laughed nervously at this. It was my first job, and I wasn't the rude kind of person where someone was paying me a compliment. I must also point out this guy must have been in at least his 60s. I remember he had one lazy eye that looked to the left, painfully awful teeth, and patchy dark brown hair. At this point, I was a little bit uncomfortable, but was still more than willing to take his order. I'll have a cheeseburger. Okay, sir, that'll be 99p. Are you paying cash or card? Without answering my question, he started asking me where I'm from, how old I was, etc. But it wasn't until his last question that I got super weirded out. What time do you finish work? 7:30, why? I didn't actually finish at 7:30, but 7:30 was the first number that came into my head when I blurted it out. I finished at 8 and would probably do some overtime too, but I wasn't about to let him know that. I can meet you if you want. I can pick you up outside and we can go somewhere. All the while he's saying this, he has this horrendous grin on his face and keeps winking at me. I'm really sorry, sir. I'm not allowed to meet customers outside of work. It's against employee policy. This was utter bull, but I needed him to leave me alone. And he carries on being insistent, but not getting the picture. And I cut the conversation short. Anyway, sir, sorry to be rude, but can I have the 99p for your cheeseburger? Ah, yes. Sorry. See you at 7:30. Off he drove to the next window, and I was gobsmacked. I'd already said I wasn't going to see him. I was a little bit shocked, but was not going over there to give him the satisfaction of talking to me again. My co-worker came to me and said, "Ew, that guy had a major crush on you and wanted your number, but I didn't give it to him. He's old enough to be your dad, if not older." Anyway, I explained exactly what happened and how uncomfortable it made me. 7:30 came around and my co-worker spooked. The creeper was actually waiting in the car park for me, just like he said he would. He sat halfway down the car park and you could see him just staring in. Our car park wasn't very big. It only had 4 rows of parking spaces, so he wasn't that far away and would have clocked me the minute I walked out the door. At this point, I'm freaking out and head to the back of the store where hopefully he can't see me. I had to stay in the back of the store for 40 minutes before we knew it was safe to come out. Fast forward a week and Creeper is back on drive-thru. And guess who's back on headset at window 1? Me. I heard his voice and recognized it straight away. I was hoping I'd hear your voice again. Why didn't you meet me the other day? One second, sir. I'll be with you in 1 second. I immediately handed my headset to my manager and gave him a quick briefing of the situation. He gladly took the headset and dealt with the customer from start to finish. When my manager came back to me to let me know he'd gone, he said the creeper had been asking my name, my address, and my surname. My manager said he was the most creepiest guy he'd ever met, and I was never to have anything to do with him again. If he came back to work while I was there afterwards, my manager would have to head me to the back room while he dealt with him. He still asked about me every time. So to the creepy McDonald's guy, let's never meet again.
In 2009, when I was 14, I was home alone on a Saturday night. My parents had just left for a party 2 hours away from our house. I decided to hop on my Xbox and play some Modern Warfare with my friend. We got into a lobby and played for a bit. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I'm really good at shooter games. And when I was playing, I was dominating the enemy team. When the match finished, someone on the other team was just talking to trash, calling me a tryhard and stuff like that. I started talking back because I wanted to stand up for myself. And I'm not just going to say that my voice is really deep. It was also deep when I was 14. A lot of people thought I was a grown man with kids when I spoke on the game chat. This guy thought that too. He started saying that I'm a grown man that lives in my mom's basement. So we kept on going back and forth. The conversation was getting a lot more offensive now. We ended up on the same team, but he still kept talking trash. I tried muting the guy, but I couldn't. For some reason, I don't know why. I could mute others, but not him. When the game finished, I tried backing out, but I couldn't. I noticed that others were able to, including my friends, but not me. I tried playing a different game, but I couldn't. That guy just kept on and on. I kept on telling him that he was annoying and he's acting like a punk. He then said to me, "Oh, you think I'm annoying, huh? Just wait." I was confused and honestly just gave up at this point. Then this idiot opened up a bag of chips and was eating like 4 chips at a time, making the noise louder. I was honestly so pissed and started calling him a fat loser and kept on making fat jokes. I went to his Xbox profile to see if I could mute from there. But when I went to his profile, I saw that he had modded account. That most likely explains why I couldn't leave the game. Mute him or play a different game. I told him he was soft for modding. He changed his gamer tag to "I hope you die." He just kept on eating his chips too. I tried to turn off my Xbox, but I couldn't. I didn't realize that he had more than just a modded account. I kept on complaining to him while he continued his behavior. It just got to the point where he was furious. He ended up leaving, but the way he left gave me goosebumps. Before he left, he said in a slow, creepy tone, "Okay, I'm gonna leave now. When I find you, I'm gonna hurt you, Max." I was so afraid I couldn't even talk or move. The guy knew my name. He finally left. I should also add that it was just me and him in the lobby. I think he booted everyone and blocked anyone from joining. I didn't really know what to do because I didn't know if he was being serious or not, but how did he know my name? I turned off my Xbox because it was late and eventually drifted off into sleep. I woke up to the knock at the door. I looked at the clock. It was around 2 a.m. I didn't want to answer that door though. The person behind that door started to pound on it. It then sounded like the person was slamming their body on the door. I then heard the voice of a person I was fighting with before. He said something like,
"Max, I know you can hear me. Open the door. I just want to talk."
I was terrified. I called the police and the neighbor said they would be over very quickly. As I was on the phone with my neighbor, the door busted open and there stood a tall, fat man. You can tell he had terrible hygiene. He smelled and looked disgusting. He had long, messy hair, a heavy 5 o'clock shadow, and a bunch of acne. His clothes were also filthy. He charged at me with a kitchen knife. I ran as fast as I could to my bedroom and locked the door. He tried opening it, and he was pounding on the door. He even stuck his knife through the door several times, but then I heard a familiar voice. It was my neighbor shouting at him to drop the knife. My neighbor was pointing a gun at him, but the man ran outside and back through the door. My neighbor stayed with me and the cops until my parents got back. I'm so thankful that my neighbor got there in time.
I
I live alone, have done for a few years. This story takes place 2 years ago, before the start of the pandemic. It was just an average Saturday night. It was 1 a.m., and I was up late, gaming in the basement. I'd set up my basement for a gamer's paradise. I had all the old consoles, controllers, memory cards, everything you can think of. And it would be customary that every other Saturday, I would have my friends over for some huge and epic gaming nights. This Saturday, however, was one without company. I was downstairs, headphones in, and numbing my brain with excessive gameplay. When all of a sudden, I finished a level, and the music stopped briefly on the loading screen. That's when I heard a faint smack upstairs. Immediately I removed my headphones and listened more attentively. A second smack. Something or someone was at my door. I looked at my watch. It was really late. Far too late for anyone to be here. I tentatively started to climb the stairs, wary that it could be something horrible waiting for me, but nonetheless made my way up. An important note is that the basement door opens inwards. Therefore, as I started to pull it open, I slowly peeked my head through, assuming that if anyone were looking in, they wouldn't be able to see me. As from any window on the upstairs landing, it would be fairly clear if the door were open the other way. I peeked my head through and instantly see through the window and illuminated by the orange streetlight a few people standing at my door. They had what appeared to be a crowbar and were trying to pry my door open. Now, I live in a relatively safe area and had always just locked my door out of habit, but now there was someone trying to break in. My door wasn't particularly strong and my locks weren't that great. I knew that it was just a matter of time. I slowly closed the door and locked the basement door from the inside. The basement door lock, in fact, was one I had installed as a prank against some friends. I made my way downstairs, put my cell phone near the window, and started dialing 911. When the operator came on, I frantically told her that there were men breaking into my house and that they had crowbars. She didn't miss a beat, and told me that she would be dispatching someone very soon indeed. She stayed with me on the line, all the while I waited in absolute agony, fearing that the men were going to come closer, maybe break down my door in any second. I was absolutely petrified. I stood there, next to the window, trying to hear what the operator was saying, her words of comfort keeping me sane, as the beautiful sound of police sirens permeated the night. I heard an absolutely colossal scuffle from upstairs, and then the police exiting the vehicle and gave chase. At the end of it, only a few things were stolen. They managed to catch a few of the criminals, but I didn't ever retrieve all of my items. The real loss here is my sense of security. If anyone's experienced a break-in, perhaps they feel the same thing. I just feel unsafe. I've had extra locks put on my doors, even latches put on my windows, but now I just feel vulnerable. I have security cameras outside my home and bought a specialist TV which I turn on almost every night just to watch the outside of my home. It's getting to be a bit excessive, I know, but it's the only way I sleep at night. And sometimes I still don't feel safe in my own home. They robbed me of that feeling of safety, and that's something I can never forgive them for.
When I was 11, almost 12, there was this woman living above me that was a coke dealer. The night of my 12th birthday, she had went missing. Not long after, her boyfriend came down to ask if he could use our phone. This happened in 2004, so having a cell phone was more of an exception than a rule, at least for my area. For a little context, I was home alone at the time while my mom was at work about a 5-minute walk away. My mom had let our neighbor and her boyfriend come to use our phone several other times before, so I assumed nothing was wrong with it and just let him in, bringing him into the living room, which is towards the front of our apartment, to use the phone in there. He picks up the receiver, dials a number, waits for a few seconds, then hangs up the phone. He does this a couple more times before the front door of the building then opens. Now, you can easily hear the front door open from where we were. It's a heavy door and the walls are really thin. And the way that our building is set up, it's a really small, old single-family house converted into apartments. Me and my mom's apartment was the only one on the first floor, and our upstairs neighbor's apartment was literally the only one above us. Kind of irrelevant, but there was also a much smaller apartment below us. Anyways, my neighbor's boyfriend then looked at me, pointing his finger right up to his lips, as if he was trying to shush me or something. He then went on to tell me not to tell anyone he was there, before then speed walking to my room right at the other end of the apartment. I then watched my bedroom door then close, right before there was a loud, hard, cop-like knock right on the door. My jaw then dropped as I opened the door to see a cop. The cop had then asked me if my neighbor's boyfriend was there. Being really scared, I had stammered out, "Yeah, he just went into my room." The officer asked if he could come in, which I agreed to, and as he was coming in, he asked if I could let his partner in the back door and lead them to my room. We started to walk together to the back of the apartment so that I could let his partner in. Now, the back door to the apartment was right next to my bedroom door, but we had to walk around the kitchen table to get there. After I let them into my room, I had then watched as they then pulled my neighbor's boyfriend right out of my bedroom closet. As they brought him out of my room and towards the back door, they had told me to go wait in the living room while they had then brought him to the back door. I walked back to the living room and after they closed the door, I couldn't really hear what they were saying, but I could then hear the distinct sound of metal clicking, and I quickly realized that he had just been handcuffed. Still pretty scared, I waited for the police car to drive away before grabbing my keys, making sure the back door was locked and locking the front door on my way out. I decided to head to my mom's work, now crying. I'm pretty sure I cut the 5-minute trip into about 2 minutes, and I've never been a fast runner in my life. I was pretty much fueled entirely on adrenaline and fear at that point, and I just really wanted my mom. When I told her what happened, my mom was so pissed off that he had used me in the way that he did, hiding out in a child's bedroom closet of all places, and trying to keep the cops from finding him there. She gave me a pretty short but gentle lecture that night about not letting people in to use the phone, telling me that I wasn't to let people use our phone even if I knew them unless she was home. I don't really want to know exactly what he was wanted for, nor do I want to know what would have happened if the cops hadn't shown up when they did.
My name is James and I'm 16 years old. One evening, I was playing some Black Ops 4 on my PS4. I was having the usual night until I came across this one guy whose online ID was KillerKen663. I kept killing him over and over, and as he had a headset on, I can hear him shouting and swearing every time I shot him, which I found pretty funny. He stayed in my lobby for about 4 games or so, each time getting more angry. I was finding it funnier each time. After about the 4th game of destroying him, he spoke in the lobby before the next match saying that stupid kid keeps killing me. I sat there laughing, but all that changed when the next words he spoke were, "I bet you find this real funny, don't you, James?" I immediately stopped laughing and my heart sank. My eyes opened wide. I was so shocked to how he knew my name. It's not possible because my online ID is CODGod122. There's no way he could know my real name. I immediately left the lobby. I sat there at my desk for a few moments, pretty freaked out, took a deep breath, and calmed down a bit. I thought maybe he meant someone else, and I was getting it confused with another guy named James in the lobby, or something. It was just a coincidence. About 5 minutes passed, and I carried on playing and tried to forget about it. In the game I was playing, I'd noticed in the kill feed it said Killer Ken 663 connected. I was thinking, there's no way it's this guy again. I was still pretty weirded out, so I left the match I was in and went to join another lobby. After finding another lobby, I was waiting for the game to start, and once again, he popped up. I quickly left and went to look for a new game this time. Before I even searched for the game mode, he joined me. This time, just me. I sat there and just waited. He got on his mic and said, I'll die in hell, and he's gonna be the one to send me there. I thought this was corny, but I take all threats seriously. I instantly backed out and was scared as hell, thinking to myself, what is wrong with this guy? I blocked him thinking he must have kept joining by going on recent players. That annoyed me. I was annoyed myself, honestly, as this was the first thing I should have thought of. I decided to stop playing that night, and I was frightened by this crazy man threatening me. The next day when I turned on my PlayStation, I received a message. It was him, Killer Ken 663. The message read, see you soon, James. This was 3 weeks ago. I haven't had any other incidents with this guy since then. I hope it stays that way.
Months ago, I moved to my new home in a new city, and I'll keep it private for my privacy, and you'll see why later in the story. I met my new neighbor. The first impression of him was that he was very nice, funny, and a down-to-earth guy, but his behavior began to change after getting to know him. He's becoming a bit weird. Then I met his son. He was telling me that his father was threatening him with stupid things because he was playing in a neighborhood and he only liked for his son to play at his house. He seemed like a hovering parent that did not like his son to go anywhere or to have any type of freedom. My neighbor began to be mean to everyone that lived near us and became very distant, as if he wanted us to probably get away from him. At least that's what I was assuming. One night, it was around 2 a.m. when I was awakened by screaming and arguing. I stayed in my bed and I covered my ears with my pillow, but my window was open because I liked the fresh air. The arguing continued, and all of a sudden it stopped. I heard grunting and something being dragged across some type of floor. I got tired of hearing the noise, so I decided to get up and close my window, which is actually facing my neighbor's house. I got up, and as I were getting ready to close my window, I looked up at my neighbor's house, and I saw something through a window, so I took this video. I didn't know what this was, but the prior argument that I heard told me that that was a body hanging from the ceiling. I shut my window very quietly, and I called the cops, but I whispered while I was on the phone with them. I don't know why, and at that point I didn't want to know why that happened. The person that he was arguing with was one of his son's friend's father. They were arguing over something my neighbor said to his son's friend. The police eventually came and they arrested him. I told them not to come over here so I didn't have to make a report, so I went down to the station. My neighbor has already been through trial, and he actually received a death sentence, but I don't want to give too much information because it'll bring up who I am.
I've gotten Ubers plenty of times before, but this one experience I had a few years ago was the creepiest and weirdest of my life. It was a Saturday night, and I had been out bar hopping with my friends. It was around 1:30 a.m. when my friends and I decided to call it a night. I said goodbye to my friends as they walked to the bus stop. I live in the opposite direction, so I started walking to a spot where my brother was going to pick me up. But as I pulled my phone out, I received a text message from my brother telling me that he can't pick me up as he had been called into work. He works nights. I opened up an Uber, and there was this one guy about 2 minutes away, so I clicked for him to pick me up. His name was Jim, and in his picture he was a balding middle-aged man with a mustache and some stubbled facial hair. An old car pulled up beside me, Jim looked out the window and confirmed that he was my Uber ride. Once I got inside, I noticed there was another person in the passenger seat. I said, oh, hi. They didn't reply to me. I asked Jim how his night was going. He didn't reply either. I was too drunk and too tired to care. Destination to my house was already on the app before I made the call for the Uber, so Jim started driving. I was scrolling through my phone and texting friends, and I started to hear Jim whisper and mumble to himself. I couldn't understand what he was saying, and if he was talking to me or the person next to him, but I ignored it. As we were driving, he started to become more on edge, and the things he was whispering to himself was becoming more coherent. One thing I heard Jim say in a loud whisper was, you do it. I can't risk going back to jail. Even though I was drunk, that was enough for me to stop playing around on my phone and focus on my surroundings and keep a closer eye on Jim and the person next to him. The person hadn't said a word the whole time I was in the car, which I found weird. I looked around outside and we were on the freeway, which wasn't unusual as you had to take to get to my house. The next thing that happened is Jim pulled the car over at a rest stop. He once again started talking to himself. Jim then said, I won't do it. You can't make me. He then hit the person next to him in the face, and he got out the car. He grabbed something from the trunk and walked off into the darkness. I was stunned with what was going on. I asked the person in the passenger seat if they were all right, but once again, they didn't say anything or do anything. I asked again, this time tapping him on the shoulder. Something didn't feel right after grabbing hold of him. It felt cold. I took a closer look at the person, and to my complete shock and horror, the man looked lifeless with a hoodie on and with white and bluish purple type skin. The expression on his face was shocking. It was as if he were frightened to death. I sat back in the seat and couldn't believe what was going on. I could hear something from outside. It sounded like dirt being shoveled. That must have been what Jim was doing, digging some type of ditch or grave. At that point, I got out of the car and ran down the road, hoping to spot another car to pick me up. This was a sobering experience, but I was still drunk and tired. I ran down the road, but didn't get very far without being out of breath and needing a throw up. I'm not sure if I'm running around at night after drinking or the horrifying experience. Maybe both, but I felt sick. I turned around to look at Jim's car. I started to fear the worst when I saw the car start. I thought he was about to chase me down, but he didn't. He just started the car and then sped off into the night, never to be seen again. I felt so relieved, but I still kept fearing he would come back. I carried on walking down the road until passing the car, and they gave me a lift home. This incident scarred me for life, and I never got an Uber again.
The story is told from the perspective of a female. My name is Christina, and I'm a mom of two children and a cop. The story happened when I was 18 years old. I was a pretty good girl growing up, and I always listened to my parents. My mom was a nurse, and my dad was a cop. I have a younger brother named Ricky. One day I was out with my best friend named Alice and my baby brother, and we were at the movies watching Ghostbusters. It was also Ricky's birthday. He was turning 10 years old and he absolutely loved Ghostbusters. Anyway, after the movie was over, I couldn't shake the fact that someone was watching me from the shadows. That's when I ran into my ex-boyfriend named Joshua. We used to date in college, but eventually we broke up because he was very obsessed with me, and he even became verbally abusive towards me. We would always fight over the smallest things, and he was also very demanding. He told me what to wear, what to say, how he wanted his dinner made at a special time. It was crazy. When this happened, I became very, very afraid of him. When I decided enough was enough, I dumped him. Well, he didn't really like that, and then he vowed that I would regret it.
Why, hello there, beautiful. I didn't expect to see you here.
he said as he tried to kiss the back of my hand. This is something he used to do when we dated. I immediately removed my hand from his grasp and then I said, why are you here? I don't want to see you.
Aw, come on, baby. Don't be so mean. I've been changing since we broke up, and I really want to show you how much I changed,
he said as he prepared to put his hand on my left cheek. Not in a million years. You can fool anyone else, but I know who you are. You're a selfish and verbal abuser. I would never go out with you again, I said as I then left with my little brother Ricky, who was a little shaken up from my outburst. I thought that that would be the only time I would ever see Joshua, but it wasn't. Not by a long shot. After that encounter, a bouquet of roses began to come to my house, and since my dad was a cop, he knew about my past relationship with Joshua. But soon afterwards, it then escalated to poems, pictures of me going to college, going out with Alice, and even cooking a simple lunch for me and Ricky. There is also one specific photo, which was of me and Joshua when we first started to date. I immediately threw up upon seeing it. My dad went to Joshua's place and decided to confront him about it. That's when Joshua confessed that he was still in love with me. So my dad filed a restraining order against him. It really gave me some comfort, but soon one day, while at Ricky's best friend's house, Ricky was playing with his two best friends, Joey and Duke. They were playing Pokemon and I was in the living room listening to some music when Ricky entered the living room. He looked really worried about something as he then handed me a small letter. Where did you get this? I asked him. I'm not allowed to tell, he said as he ran away. I had cut open the letter with a letter opener, and that's when I saw that it was a photo of me and my new boyfriend named Keith. And written on the back of it, it said,
you're mine, you slut.
I immediately felt sick and started to throw up in a trash can, and I decided to call my dad. Later that night, I had just drifted off to sleep when I heard what sounded like a camera going off. I instinctively grabbed a metal bat and then hit the person right in the face. He fell on the ground back first, and I began to beat him mercilessly on the back and face. The person was revealed to be one of Joshua's friends named Mitch. That's when he revealed that Joshua threatened his family if he didn't get a picture of me. My dad, feeling bad for Mitch, only gave him 1 month of house arrest due to his age. I'm gonna finish this myself. I left the house with my dad's gun and I went to go see Joshua. He was just sitting on his porch with a really creepy and twisted smile.
My love, I just knew you would come back to me,
he said to me. I immediately kicked him in the face and he then fell on the ground face first. I could shoot you right now and watch your brains go all over the pavement, but I believe jail time would be much more appropriate for you, I said to him as the cops immediately came and then handcuffed him. My dad came as well, but in the last-ditch effort, Joshua then took out a really big knife and stabbed one cop in the stomach and the other in the leg, and then he tried to charge right for me. He then started yelling,
if I can't have you, nobody will.
I immediately fired my gun. I shot him once in the leg and then the arm which held the knife. He started to thrash and yell in pain. At his trial, I had to testify against him in court. He was sentenced to 30 years in prison without the possibility of parole. It was as if the terror had finally stopped. As a precaution, we decided to move away, because in that 30 years, Joshua would get out of jail, and he would probably hunt down me and my family. But this time, the game will end. Winner takes all.
I thought I'd share some stories from the haunted house I lived in growing up. I lived there from the ages of 5 to age 13. I have two older brothers. We have all experienced things there, including my dad, who is too stubborn to talk about it or acknowledge it. At the end of our time living there, my mom had enough and called a priest in to bless the house. Things did not stop, and we ended up moving a few minutes away into a new subdivision. Things always felt a little off in the house. I'd get hit with instant fear and dread when I would go into certain rooms or walk up the stairs. It started off for me, in my room. Books would fall off the shelf, even though they were tightly secured with bookends. At night I would see colored shapes floating in my room. I had a little radio with a Rafi cassette in it, and it would start playing randomly. My brothers and I would frequently share the same dreams, which were usually very gruesome for us being so young. We all witnessed a tall black figure either outside of our rooms, on the stairs, or at the end of the hallway. We would never go to the bathroom at night in fear of it. Upstairs, we had a little hallway in which to get to the bedrooms. It had a banister on the left overlooking the lower part of the house and a wall on the right. My mom had a wooden shelf on the wall filled with these tiny collectible ceramic houses. One night she heard things dropping on the floor downstairs. When she woke the next morning, she discovered all of the tiny houses had been thrown over the banister onto the floor downstairs. The shelf that held these was much too high for my brothers and I to ever reach, and we wouldn't ever dare to touch them anyway. My mom was home alone one day. She was tidying up all of our rooms. She went into her room and made the bed, which had a large amount of decorative pillows on it, and then left to tidy up the next room. She went back into her room, and the pillows were scattered all over the floor. In my parents' room, if you were to sit on the bed, you could look into the bathroom, which had a huge wall-length mirror on it. One day I was sitting on the bed, and something compelled me to look at the mirror. I saw a face floating above me. Just a face. It wasn't a regular-looking face, though. It was something out of a horror movie. Needless to say, I got the fuck out of there pretty quick. We used to have a little step stool in the bathroom for us to stand on while brushing our teeth. We could hear it dragging on the floor in the middle of the night. Most mornings we would all wake up and find the step stool in a different place upstairs. My brothers and I had rooms on the second floor. One night, my brother started screaming and crying. My parents rushed in. They told my parents that they saw a face in the window. One night my mom walked upstairs and found my brother sitting on the floor, just staring at the clock on his wall. She stood there a few minutes and he continued staring. When she asked why he was staring at the clock, he responded, "It's floating on the wall and keeps moving around." A bunch of times while watching television, the image on the screen would warp. It would not stop until I turned it off. Usually this would happen when there were faces on the screen, which was terrifying. A number of times when I was leaving to walk to school, I was outside the house. I would look at the house from across the street and would see a tall, black figure appear in one of the windows. It was a different window every time. Things would fall and break. Our dog was constantly cowering. We'd all be downstairs having dinner, and the toilets would flush upstairs. We had a piano downstairs, and at night we would hear several keys being played. I still have the song in my head. It was three notes being played on the bass cleft area, the left side. It sounded like the three lowest notes you could hit on a piano.
My name is Matthew and I'm 16 years old, and I'll be recounting an event that happened to me and a group of friends a while ago. I live in Perth, Western Australia, and due to construction happening in the area, there are some large construction sites, which is where this story would take place. This happened during the school holidays, and it was on a night that I decided to meet up with a few friends. I won't share their names for obvious reasons. I asked my friend if he wanted to come to my house tonight. He said sure. So I waited for him outside, and I met up with him. We went into my backyard for a while, and we stayed there. Having an interest in urban exploration, I asked my friend if he wanted to go around to this construction site that was nearly finished of some new house. He said, yeah, sure, let's go. I thought it was a good idea to go. This is where the story gets worse, but that's for later. So both my friend and I agreed to go to the construction site. Walked out of my gate and onto a path leading to it, which was around the corner. When we get to the front of the construction site, we were both surprised of how modern and big it was. It was a typical two-story house with a garage, pool, and a patio. I recall walking him to the left side of the house, where a narrow path was to get to the backyard. When we got to the backyard, we were looking around and we saw the pool, a large patio, and a nice direct view of the city at nighttime. Anyways, We wanted to get inside the house. To be honest, we went in there to take photos and explore. We went to the backyard and tried a few of the doors that were there. Eventually, we found one that was surprisingly open, and we walked in. Both my friend and I were looking around. The interior of the house was large, and I remember a huge light. It was the size of a small person hanging from the roof. We decided to go upstairs. The stairs weren't placed yet, so all it was a guardrail with some timber and steel plates all ascending to the second floor. We climb up and get to the second floor. That floor is absolutely massive. To the left, you have a room that is a bathroom. Well, it was connected to a bathroom, and it had a closet and a bedroom. When you leave the bathroom, there's a hallway which leads down to the area that has an office room and a balcony. We went back to the bathroom area, and we turned the light on to have a better look around the room. Me and my friend had one last look, and then we left. When we got outside, we looked up, and I asked my friend did he turn the light off. He said no, and I went to accompany him while he did. This is where things start to frighten me. As I'm waiting downstairs for him, all of a sudden I hear this pounding and yelling. It was someone yelling, "What are you doing?" I ran out screaming and yelling so loud that my friend heard me, and he ran outside. As we got onto the road, we hear a man yelling for us to get back here. We ran around the corner and hid in someone's bushes until he went away. My friend and I decided to go for a walk. As we were walking, our other friends called us, and we told them what happened. They were eager to come check out the house too. So me and my friend, we get home and wait for the other two friends. Eventually they came, and I told them all the events that happened, and my other friends were eager to go check out this house. So in total, there were four of us. When we got to the house, we all decided to split in two groups. It was two of us going one way and two of us going the other way. Pretty much, me and my friend went inside to explore, and the other two stood outside keeping watch. Both my friend and I enter. We both have our flashlights on. We were walking around the whole bottom floor to make sure there's no one in there. I recall walking toward the staircase with my other friend checking out the house. As I was walking, I stepped on a small rock and made a cracking sound. As soon as that happened, something absolutely terrifying happened, and that fueled my adrenaline. At this point, this is where I started to record a short clip of what happened. There were either repeated knocks or someone pressing the door handle to one of the rooms on the door downstairs repeatedly. Both my friend and I, we were out of there so fast and shocked, we were yelling and screaming. We eventually get outside and we tell our other friends what happened. They also asked what happened, and we said, as we were exploring halfway in, we heard a few knocks or a rattle on the door handle. They were just as shocked as I was. I asked who did the knocking. They asked me what I meant. They were in the front keeping watch. Still to this day, this event scares me and has somewhat taught me a lesson, and that's not to trespass.
My name is Kyle, and I'm an Uber driver and have been for around 3.5 years. Most of the time, I work from early evening to late at night. I've had my fair share of rude, weird, and awkward customers, but I never thought I would have my life threatened. I think it was a Thursday night about 10:30 p.m. I get an alert from a guy named Caleb needing a ride to a house that was located in the countryside. I pull up to a guy wearing dark blue jeans, a black hoodie, old white sneakers, and a baseball cap. I roll my window down and ask if he's Caleb. He nodded yes and got in the back of my car. I looked at him in the rearview mirror. He was just looking out the window with his cap down and had both of his hands in his pockets of his hoodie. That was enough for me to know that he was interested in conversation, and the destination was already set up as I picked him up, so there was no need to make small talk either. As we were nearing the house, he stepped forward and started looking out of the window. like he was looking for something or someone in particular. He was looking around the quiet, dark forest area, as was I. I then heard something thud on the floor of my car. Caleb then picked it up, whatever it was, and put it back in his pocket. But I took a look in the rearview mirror and saw that it was a gun. The butt of a handgun was sticking out of his pocket. I looked at Caleb to see if he noticed me looking at him, but he was still looking out of the window. My heart started racing and I began to panic. I was thinking like I was about to get killed and needed to think quickly on how I'm going to get out of this situation. We pulled up to an abandoned cottage that had been vandalized and forgotten about for years. And outside were three hooded men standing around a barrel with a fire inside. Before I had a chance to do anything, Caleb leaned forward, pointed the gun in the back of my neck, and grabbed the keys from my car, turning off the engine. At that point, the three men turned toward the car and started slowly approaching. I thought I was about to get robbed, beaten, or even worse, killed. Caleb then said, "Don't move," as he got out of the car. He approached the three men and started talking. One of the men then handed him something. I don't know what it was. I couldn't make it out. But shortly after that, talking turned into arguing. And it wasn't long before Caleb shot one of the men dead. Before the other two ran off into the dark woods, Caleb then turned to me, pointed a handgun and fired, causing the window to shatter. Thankfully, I wasn't hit. Another gunshot went off, coming from the woods. Caleb turned toward the sound of the gunshot and let off two more rounds before running off into the woods himself. I grabbed my phone and ran out of the car into the opposite direction. When I thought I was far enough away, I called the police. As I was running, I could still hear gunshots in the distance. I told the police to go to the address. I still had it on my phone, so I knew exactly where to send them. Two police cars drove by, and one of them stopping for me as I was waving them down. I told them I was the one who called. I was taken back to the station to make a more official statement. I was also informed that the cottage was abandoned and found no one near the property in the woods. The only thing they found was my car and a shattered window. The police told me it was a drug deal gone bad, and I should be considered lucky that I wasn't killed.
I live in Louisiana, southern U.S. for anyone not from the States, and we were affected quite severely by the flood back in August. Our house took in 4 feet of water. We started to rebuild, and this took place once we got moved back in. Most of the rooms in the house, aside from two bedrooms and the bathroom, had no walls up, only studs. We're still not quite done, but wanted to be back in our house as soon as possible and not staying with family. My boyfriend's dad built the house, raised his family here, and died here. So we get up one morning, and I start getting kids ready for school while he gets ready for work. With kids on the bus and him out the door by 7, I decided I'm going back to bed since insomnia had reared its ugly head the night before. Around 9 o'clock, I wake up to the sound of the front door. I figured my boyfriend forgot something, so I just laid there listening. I heard the door open, then close, and slow, deliberate footsteps through the living room and down the hallway. I open my eyes, still in bed, and look out the doorway and see what I think is him peering around the corner looking in our bedroom. I only saw a head wearing a welder's hat and a shoulder in a bright yellow shirt. He does heating air conditioning work and wears this stuff all the time. It was only there a second, then seemed as though he went into the bathroom since the door is adjacent to ours and only a few feet away. I wait a few more minutes, then call out to him. No answer. I get up to check and the bathroom door is open, light off. No one there. I peek into the kids' room. No one. Check the front door and back doors. Both locked. At this point, I'm kind of freaking out. I sat in the kitchen trying to collect my sanity and my phone rings. It was my boyfriend. He didn't come home that morning, and was, in fact, across town. I tell him the story, and he starts laughing. Apparently his dad, who died 6 years before we met, wore bright yellow and a welder's hat all the time. He also walked slowly and heavily. Guess he was trying to tell me to get up and do something with my day. I already knew the house was haunted when I moved in. Four of my boyfriend's family members have died here, and they hang around. I've seen shadows, and we hear noises, voices, and knocking quite often. It's never anything malicious. At times it has caused me to check my kids, and usually when they need me, too. Ever work night shifts? I know some of you have. I've seen a few posts around here about people stuck working during the midnight hours, and they're definitely my favorite. Normal people don't really know what it's like to be wide awake when the rest of the world is sleeping peacefully. It's lonely, sure. I find it difficult to keep up with daywalker friends, and I'm pretty sure it cost me one or two girlfriends, but above all, it's weird. But due to my own dumb mistakes, it's pretty much all the work I can get. Yeah, I got a record. Not many places will take me on, let alone give me any serious responsibility. So when the local Walmart here in Nogales, Arizona, offered me a position as a third shift security guard, I pretty much jumped at the chance. The pay is awesome. Well, as awesome as it's going to get for a guy with my kind of past. So, I'm sat in the security office one night, trying not to pass out from boredom, having given up on trying to read this gigantic Stephen King book I got for my 30th birthday. I keep telling myself to read more, but it's tough. I didn't exactly do good in school, so I feel like I missed out on so many cool stories. Yeah, I've seen The Shining and all of that, but I get sick of people telling me how much better the book is. It makes me feel dumb for not having read it. Anyway, I'm dying of boredom, so I decide to go on a little foot patrol. Maybe grab a smoke at one of the emergency exits or something. The boss man checks the CCTV occasionally just to make sure we're not sleeping on the job, which some guys actually get fired for doing. So I get up and wandered around the store in clear view of the cameras before ducking out an exit to light up. Now, Walmart parking lots can get pretty crazy. I have seen full-on fistfights between customers over stuff as small as a parking space. I've had to chase away couples getting a little too fresh in their cars, although that can be hilarious sometimes, and it only gets weirder at night. Meth heads, drug dealers, people who have met on Craigslist selling each other weird stuff, for some reason they all choose to meet in Walmart parking lots. So as I'm lighting up, a single parked sedan catches my attention. In the deserted lot, it stuck out like a sore thumb. This old battered Ford just sat there all by itself. Oh God, what now, I'm thinking, just preparing myself for whatever bout of crazy was about to unfold. I watched the car for a minute or two, seeing the driver clearly in the front seat. Not like perfectly clearly. It's almost pitch black, obviously, but you know when you can see like the outline of a person in the front seat? Yeah, that. Only he's not moving at all. He's just sat perfectly still in the middle of the parking lot. I started making little bets with myself and a game I like to call drugs, nookie, or mental illness. Pretty much every encounter I ever have during a shift can be put into one of those categories. Either they're high, horny, or just insane. Now, my first thought here was nookie. The guy's waiting for a lady of the night, calling one of those dumb 1-800 numbers, or just jerking it to something gross on his phone. Either way, it's nothing I'll need to call the cops for, so I just finish my smoke and head back inside. An hour or so later, the same deal occurs. My eyes are closing, and I'm finding it harder and harder to stay awake, so I make one of those terrible-tasting instant coffees and head out for another smoke. Only, when I get to the emergency exit and step out into the night, that same car is there, having not moved an inch. Obviously, I'm getting a little suspicious about it now, but mainly because I had no idea what it was even doing there. I can spot a deal or some shady stuff in a meetup going from like a mile away, but they tend to be over and done with kind of fast. They don't hang around in the parking lot, sat still in their driver's seat. Then it hit me. The exterior cameras. They're all night vision capable with zoom lenses. All I had to do was head back to the office and mess with the settings, and I'd pretty much have a sniper's look into the interior of the car. So with the Mission Impossible theme playing in my head, I rush back to the office and start spying on the sedan. Zooming in on the car, the scene lit up by the light-sensitive cameras, I could clearly see this guy's face. Along with a big vintage mustache, the dude has sunglasses on. Sat in his car, in the middle of the night, with shades on. This guy must have been high as a kite. So if it's anything drug-related, I'm pretty obliged to get out of the car and wave them away. No one wants the cops called on them when they have a vehicle full of something illicit or whatever, so it's an easy enough task. I wander out to the car, taking it pretty slow. 9 times out of 10, as I'm approaching, the lights will turn on and the car just speeds out of the parking lot. Only this one just sits there, the guy not moving at all. I tap on the back window, only gently, and say something stern along the lines of, "Hey, time to leave, buddy, this ain't a motel." Still, no movement. I turn on my torch, and I see why. I didn't take in much detail. I didn't need to. There was blood everywhere. Things that should have been inside this dude were festering on the car's floor. Little trickles of blood appearing from under his shades, where whoever had done this had apparently taken his eyes, too. I ran about as far as I could before I vomited hot coffee onto the parking lot surface. I was still retching when I called 911 from the security office. It all seems like a blur now, looking back on it, but what I saw in that car still appears before my eyes sometimes when I close them at night. It's burned into my memory, and I don't think I'll ever get it out. Now, Nogales is a border town, and it doesn't take the cops long to work out that the body was some kind of cartel-related incident. God knows what this poor guy had done, but he must have messed up bad enough to warrant this sort of punishment. These days, I carry a .38 on the job. I've never been interested in firearms, but I feel like I should carry one now, especially when I go out into the parking lot of the Nogales Walmart, just in case I run into the guys who turned that old sedan into something that'll haunt me for the rest of my life.
Around 9 months ago, I was in a very dark place and very much struggling to find any sort of happiness or motivation in my life. My social life was non-existent, my dad had terminal cancer, and I pretty much had nobody to help me. That is, until I met my ex, which we'll call Kay. I had met Kay online in some sort of group chat, and we instantly hit it off. She was pretty, fun, and we shared so many interests. I instantly became attracted to her and pretty much wanted to talk to her every single day, because at the time, she was pretty much all I had. And eventually, after about a month of talking, I decided to pop the question, and that was by far the biggest mistake I've ever made. She seemed to be really normal and pleasant at first, but as time went on, she gradually revealed things about her past that were quite dark, such as the time that she told me that her ex-boyfriend had raped her and then got away with it, and then she attempted suicide afterwards. Now, I've met many sexual assault victims, and I must say that everything she said just didn't really add up, and she would always change the story to the point that where it was like a hostage situation. But at the time, I was in such a horrible mental state that I just pushed it under the rug and went along with it. She quickly started to show her true colors, turning into the complete opposite of the girl I first met, with her going on about how she absolutely hates every single race other than white people, and how she thinks that rapists are just the most attractive people. This really put me off and totally shocked me, as expected. Literally every single day she would be revealing things that were just so disgusting and wrong. It was around December where I broke the news that my dad was dying, and he only had about a week left. Well, she totally jumped on the opportunity and told me that her grandpa had cancer, and that the best thing to do was to leave them alone because they're already stressed out enough. You're all going to call me a complete idiot because I actually believed her and thought that she actually wanted to help me, but how wrong I was. My father passed away 3 days later, and I was devastated. The funeral came around, and I was there for around 6 hours or so, meeting up with relatives and friends and going through the process. And while I was gone, she actually went out and cheated on me with her ex-boyfriend, who I later found out is a convicted sex offender and like 23 years old or something. We were 15 at the time. But I didn't actually find this out until many months later, And you're not going to believe it, but she actually pretended to be the perfect girlfriend ever, as well as manipulating me and trying to ruin me. About 2 months after the funeral, I caught her cheating red-handed, and I was absolutely livid. She told me that it wasn't her sending nudes, but her friends took her phone, and they were the ones sending the guy nudes. At first, I didn't really believe her at all, and she decided to pull the suicide card and made me believe that she had actually overdosed. And I pretty much immediately tried to contact her family, and someone picked up Kay's phone and texted me that 911 was called and that she'll be alright. I was extremely gullible at the time, I know. And as you could have guessed, she was full of shit and all of it was a lie. But as of many things, I didn't really know this until months later. After the apparent suicide attempt, we decided to have a fresh start and start over. But things remained the same, and then I learned more about what she truly was. One night she had got really drunk and then called me, and was rambling on about random stuff like fetishes. And she told me that she thinks that it would be really hot if I had intercourse with a dead body. And upon hearing that, you can imagine how I responded. I hung up immediately and hardly talked to her for about 2 days. That is, until she told me that she was just drunk and she always says odd things like that. And of course, me being totally naive, I gave her another chance, and this last chance is where shit hit the fan. I can't for the life of me remember the order of things or when they happened, so I'll just have to list what she did. She got into a fight and she had bruises all over her body, and when she went to school, she broke down crying telling everybody that I was physically abusing her, despite the fact that we lived about an hour and a half away from each other and only met once in person well over a month ago. While in the middle of my algebra class, my phone was absolutely blowing up, and my teacher let me answer it to see what was going on. Random people were calling me, then accusing me of all kinds of crazy things, saying that I sexually abused her and beat the hell out of her. I totally lost my shit. I was yelling at these people while in class and received so many death threats. So many people were calling me, telling me they were going to find me. I was trying so desperately to clear my name. Miraculously, I was able to convince people that there was no possible way that I could have done those things. Because, I mean, I live over an hour away and had overwhelming proof that I didn't do it. And when Kay found out, she went full-on apeshit on me for over an hour. She called me and texted me saying terrible things such as I failed my father and that I was such a lowlife because my best friend is black. And then she actually admitted all of the bad things she did to me behind my back. Such as cheating on me with her 23-year-old rapist ex, and flirting with random old men online and sending them nudes. I finally reached my breaking point and I've cut off all contact with her. I've never felt such a relief in my life. I'll be honest. I cried. Just knowing that I was tricked by this terrible evil person into letting my father die alone and putting up with her twisted fantasies of necrophilia and murder, I just can't believe I put up with it. I know that I was extremely stupid throughout the whole ordeal. But you have to remember that I wasn't in the right state of mind, and I was so dependent on her for any type of happiness or what I thought was happiness. Here I am almost a year later with horrible trust issues, and I absolutely refuse to even hug people. I don't see myself having another relationship with anyone for a very, very long time. But on a brighter note, I'm doing much better now. I've come to terms with my father's passing, and I have many friends that are here for me. But to top it all off, Kay's now pregnant, and she was actually institutionalized for telling the school counselor about all of her messed up fantasies and urges, and she's effectively ruined her chances at any kind of normal life. So I guess everything is okay in the end, and this ends with a happy ending. At least for me. If there's any sort of advice that I can tell you, is that you please make sure you get to know someone before you ever have any sort of relationship with them. It might just ruin your life.
My name is Ed. I'm 25 years old, and I'm an Uber driver. The story happened about 4 months ago. It was late on a Friday night around 11 p.m., and I was doing my pickups around local bars and nightclubs. I had just finished dropping off some passengers when I got a notification from a guy named Jackson. I pulled up to his location when a man peered through my window asking if I was Ed, his Uber driver. I said, "Yeah, you Jackson?" He replied, "Yeah," and got in. Once he got in my car, I could see him more clearly. He had long, dirty blonde hair, an unshaven face, and red bags under his eyes. He was wearing jeans and a dark blue hoodie. I started driving toward the destination that he had marked down. It wasn't long before I could smell his foul odor. I took a few glances at him in the rearview mirror. He looked pretty paranoid. He kept looking around outside as if he was searching for someone. The place he was driving to was a bar on the quieter part of the town, in fact. I thought the bar was shut down, but I didn't want to ask and make conversation with this guy, as I didn't feel comfortable. He didn't say anything at the start of the journey. He was just looking around, as I mentioned before. He kept taking sips of some kind of liquor he had with him. It was when we started to get to the quiet, empty highway when he started talking. He was saying things like, "Life is precious, and always be careful because you could lose someone close to you." I wasn't sure if he was even talking to me. I just assumed he was. He then showed me a picture of a woman and a young girl. He said that was his wife and daughter. I awkwardly said, "You have a nice family." He then asked if I had a daughter. I said yes, but I don't really. I don't know why I said yes, but thank God I did, because at that point, Jackson told me to stop the car. As I was stopping the car, he wrapped his arm around my throat and pointed something in the back of my head. It was a gun. He told me to go home to my daughter and be thankful. As he said this, he passed me the photo of his wife and daughter. He then got out of the car and fled into the darkness of the night. I then drove to the police station and reported what had happened. What they told me made the incident 10 times scarier than what it already was. After showing them the photo the man had handed to me, the police told me that the man had killed a woman and her daughter hours earlier, and the police were out looking for him. Thinking about this story horrifies me. I think about a lot of things. That I had a sadistic maniac in my car. Now he murdered that woman and child. I also think about how I told him I had a daughter. I honestly think if I hadn't, he would have killed me. I wouldn't be here to tell this story. As far as I know, the police still haven't found Jackson. And he's still out there somewhere.
My mom worked at Walmart, and she was being harassed by an employee. Guy was your typical idiot who offered my mom to, quote-unquote, whoop my brother and I and kick us out, when he learned she was widowed and my brothers and I were struggling to find work. This probably would have already been a bad gamble on his end, since my older and brother and I worked in the woods frequently and did lots of heavy moving for people. He would often make comments that creep my mom out. I told her to report him to her boss, to Labor and Industries, and to the police. One night my mom let me borrow her truck, and I dropped her off and went to pick her up later. We were going to do a range day with my friends and teach a friend of mine's fiancé gun safety and how to shoot. I'm also a licensed concealed carrier. I rarely carry other than hunting or going to the range. I pull up to pick my mom up and I see the dude she was talking about. He was smoking and looked at us as he stood. My mom then handed me money and told me to grab a few things. I threw my jacket on to cover up my holster and walked in. I noticed he immediately followed me around, glaring at me and snarling, like as if he was about to fight. And every section of the store he was there, so I just decided to move through a few others. I talked to a young female associate, just some nonsense with her to catch his reaction. He was clinching something and staring. The associate felt uncomfortable as she kept looking at him. I moved and he followed until I cut off to the checkout. I got my things and left, and as soon as I got back, my mom unlocked the door. Meanwhile, I was burning up as my jacket of choice was my heavy Carhartt, so I was unzipping it, and my mom looked worried as I heard footsteps coming. I turned to see him aggressively walking at me, but then he sees the holster and he stops.
"Excuse me, can I help you with something?"
I inquire, kind of forgetting I got my holster on still. He zips over to this rusty truck and gets in and waits. My mom is very scared. I see his cigarette light up and he's still just sitting there waiting. My mom immediately tells me, "Go to the passenger side." I sit down and pull my phone out and I'm ready to call the police.
My mom starts driving. He immediately cuts us off and drives off down the road. We see his truck sitting on the side of the highway as we drove by, like he was just waiting there. My mom immediately floored it and had me pump gas for her when we got to the station. I left my gun in there for her as she locked the doors. Unbeknownst to my mom, I called the night manager and told her about the aggressive, threatening employee. He was shocked, and I made it clear that if I see that employee again, or if I'm followed or harassed, I'm suing the store and its management for allowing dangerous behavior in their store by employees. And apparently this was the final straw, since Walmart managers let employee-on-employee harassment slide. But if it's employee-on-customer harassment, the employee is immediately dropped. I got back in the pickup and my mom drove until we got home. The next morning I filed a follow-up complaint on this guy to the staff and they said, he's fired and banned from the property and threatened legal charges. My mom came back and seemed even happier. She informed me that the creep had been fired. Apparently this had been an ongoing thing for him. I don't even have the full context to the degree at which he had been harassing other employees, but the fact that he tried to follow my mother and me on the highway and only stopped whenever he saw that I had a firearm, it just truly makes you wonder, what did he have planned? This happened when I was 4 up until 6 years old, but I remember it perfectly. The first years of my life were spent in a Montreal suburb in the South Shore in a small and dark house. My dad was in the early stages of his career, so this is what they could afford, despite my mother hating the house due to its negative energy. She's psychic and can sense these things. I have always been psychic as well, and as a child, I was constantly too afraid to go into certain places of the house, such as the basement, but most certainly not the far side of the garden. The garden was shaped like an L, and at the bottom part of the L was where I said Choca della Fascia lived. Here's what I came to talk about, Choca della Fascia. Every single night, without a doubt, this entity would appear to me in a dream. Choca della Fascia was its name, and each dream would happen like a script. I would be in my home, standing at the end of our hallway. It was pitch black, and the dream would always start with a woman's sing-song voice singing Choca della Fascia in a very distinct way. After this, I would see a pinpoint of a drop of yellow, which would expand until it became bigger and bigger, which was the entity's face, which was a yellow round circle without any features, galloping towards me. I would always be chased by it around the house, and the dream would always end with me being forced to go into the far side of the garden, its home. It was one of those terrors where you would turn around and it would always be in front of you. Choca della Fascia was very strange looking. It had a yellow round face without any sort of features on it. It was wrapped in a kind of white blanket and had cat paws for feet. It was maybe 2 feet off the ground and was around the same size as a medium-sized dog. I would complain to my parents, and since my dad doesn't believe in the paranormal, he just chalked it up to vivid nightmares, but my mom believed it was something more sinister. I got to the point where I refused to sleep alone, and since this was happening every night, my dad grew wary of me interrupting his sleep. My mom decided to help. At first, she asked me a lot of questions and to draw him. I told her he was very bad and scary and that he didn't like me specifically. I have a younger brother, but he never seemed to bother anyone else except me. I told her he lived in the far side of the garden near this particular tree. She admitted later that she always felt uneasy in this area. When I was 6 years old, we moved to Vancouver from that house, which is on the other side of Canada. I told my mom that he wanted to follow me, and she tried to reassure me that he wouldn't. He did. The first night in our new apartment, I went to sleep and heard the same sing-song voice announcing its name. I was then chased around the apartment before the dream ended. In these dreams, I was always inside the home I was living in and never in an imaginary place. They were also incredibly vivid, and I would wake up crying or in a sweat.
my mother told me I needed to confront it and tell it that it wasn't welcome in this new home. The next evening, I mustered up the courage, and I did. To this day, it has never reappeared, not even once. The only time I have ever seen the entity outside of a dream was at my country house in Alberta. I was in the cabin and started freaking out and hyperventilating, pointing to an old fireplace he was standing next to, watching me. I would like to ask for help, suggestions, or ideas and theories, because it was such a big part of my childhood, and I always wondered about its nature. I say entity because part of me thinks it could have been a demon because of the non-human-like qualities, but I have always had a feeling it was a man. I should also say that in my childhood home, a man had committed suicide a few years back, I think in the basement. The name Chocodella Facile could be Latin. A friend in uni thought it meant something along the lines of, I come and go easily, but this has been contested by other Latin speakers. In French, which I speak, facile means easy, as it does in Latin. But I'm stumped of the chocodella part. It could also be two parts, choco, della. Any help would be greatly appreciated.
This all started when my mom met her new boyfriend, who I'll call Ray. This happened when I was 14. The first time that he met me and my siblings, he looked at my mother and then said,
"Oh wow, I didn't know you had a gang."
So, great first impression, right? He seemed like a pretty normal guy at first, though. But after he moved in, we soon realized that he was a total hothead. He would always yell a lot and throw these crazy tantrums like a child. But he would always sweet-talk his way around my mom to make everything seem okay again. And I guess that's probably why she didn't dump him sooner. My mom has always been a bit immature, but I think it made it easier for him. But Ray found it really difficult to get along with me and my siblings. He would always complain about every little thing that we did wrong, and he started to accuse us of trying to ruin their relationship because of this. I have three sisters, and me and my younger sisters were apparently the wild ones of the family, and we were the ones he had a problem with. He would soon stop us from seeing friends that he didn't like, and would be more strict with us than my other sisters. I realized he was crazy when he picked me up from school one day, and while driving home, he accused me and my sister of talking about him behind his back. I said, "What? I didn't do that." And then he started going on about me not bothering to deny it because he's got proof of it. When we got home, he had showed us a recorder and then played it back to us, and it was about me and my sister complaining about him in our bedroom. And I knew that it was in our bedroom. "What the hell?" That's when I immediately asked him, "Why are you recording us in our bedroom? What the hell's wrong with you?" We had a really big argument about it, and I immediately rang my mom and told her. But I think she didn't want to get on his bad side because she didn't even say anything about it to him, which still really annoys me to this day. I made him remove all of the recorders from mine and my sister's room. When I was 16 years old, I had got a job at a chicken place, and he had a really big problem with that as well. The apparent reason for this was because my boyfriend at the time also worked there, and he thought that I was just going there to mess around. So I guess his way of making sure that I didn't was to come and record me. And he literally did this for an entire month. I was pretty much done at this point, and I had decided to move in with my dad, who had just moved back from New Zealand. My dad was totally pissed when I told him all this, and he wanted to call the police on him. But of course, my mom begged him not to. My mom and her boyfriend eventually broke up, though, soon afterwards over something unrelated. So yeah, I never did see him again, and hopefully it stays that way.
So I live in a neighborhood that is considered middle class, but has its bad parts and its very good parts. I live right in between. One night, I got off of work pretty early because we didn't have that many customers coming in and out. By the way, I work in a locally owned restaurant. It was the winter time, so it would get dark outside pretty early at around 5 p.m. I drove home at around 6, went into the apartment, and just relaxed like usual. At one point, I was on the phone with one of my female friends, and I heard something by my room outside. We live on the first floor, by the way. I thought maybe that someone was just walking by, but the noise continued. Again, I didn't think anything of it because my room faces our front parking lot. The sound continued, but it was a little lower, as if it were further away. I got off the phone with the girl, and I looked outside. I saw a woman standing by my brother's car and my car in the middle of the parking lot. I yelled for my brother, not because she was simply standing there, but due to her back being bent backwards in an unnatural way and her screaming. He came to my window, opened it, and screamed out for her to move. All of a sudden, she fell on her back, got up, and ran away. After that, we looked at each other and began to laugh. Eventually, I went to sleep. I woke up to the same sounds from earlier. This time, I knew exactly what it was, so I took my phone out to record. She was in a darker area that had no lights, but this is what I caught on camera.
She was outside in the front around my brother and my car, and she was just standing by my car, just looking at it, and she was like talking for herself. And she was there for like at least 10 minutes, and then she went to my brother's car, and she's just saying all kinds of crazy stuff and talking to herself. And right now it's like, what was that clock? It's like 4 in the morning, dude. And it's 4 a.m. You know what I'm saying?
I went back inside, and I waited it out with my gun. I didn't go back to sleep, and the lady ended up leaving. I don't know if she was a tweaker or possessed.
My local Walmart is in Quincy, just outside of Boston. It's a short drive away, and up until about a week or so ago, I would make a weekly trip to the huge superstore to pick up groceries and cheap stationery items for school. So after driving over, I park my car and start making my way towards the main entrance when I start hearing some jerk catcalling me from across the lot. I'm not the most beautiful girl in the world, not by any stretch, but I still get whistled and hollered at by half-drunk nobodies. I just kept walking, totally ignoring their shouts and whistles as I approached the Walmart. That's when I heard his footsteps. The guy who had been shouting at me had jogged over the parking lot. I know that's hardly the most terrifying thing you've ever heard, but it really did have me on the verge of panic. What did he want? Why had he run all the way across the parking lot? If it was just to try and mac on me, then this guy was way more pathetic than I'd first thought. But I don't deal well with conflict, so I was dreading having to tell him to back off or whatever. He then starts calling me by this other girl's name. My name is not Allie, but somehow he's calling me that name and kind of talking to me like he knows me. I told him that's not my name. But he just laughed like I was joking or something. This is when I got super confused. I honestly couldn't tell if he was serious or if this was some kind of prank or dare that his friends had put him up to. When I finally told him to go away, he murmured something about seeing me around. After a few days, I realized I forgot to pick up a USB stick that I needed for college. I am literally raging with myself because I figured that the only reason I forgot in the first place was because of that weird creep in the parking lot. He seemed harmless, sure, but I have to admit to being pretty rattled from the encounter. So I rolled into the parking lot again, park my car, look around this time to make sure the same gang of dudes isn't hanging around. But like something out of a bad movie, there they are, hanging in the same spot. Only this time, as I'm looking over, I happen to make eye contact with the same dude that was bothering me. I know, I messed up. As you can guess, he comes running over in the same way he did the previous time, only this time he's distinctively more aggressive. He starts calling me Allie again, but he's now accusing me of owing someone money, like a lot of money by the sounds of it. I tell him to go screw, but he just gets wicked mad at this point and starts cussing me out in front of everyone watching. I shouted back a little, but like I said, I don't do well with conflict. I felt myself tearing up as he roared all kinds of stuff at me about how he'll get the money.
And that is my time. I hope y'all enjoyed the show. I hope that y'all will be back because, you know, tomorrow, same time, same place, we will be getting it in on day 4. Y'all have been showing up and showing out in DMs. I'm glad. I'm glad that y'all are enjoying y'allself. If y'all have any suggestions or any ghost stories that you would want to be played on the show, you can email it to me at ravenrealspill@gmail.com, or you can email it to me at raventheserialpoet@gmail.com. And I'll make sure I get it situated. Make sure that the file is no larger than 100 megabytes. And for simple terms, that would be roughly under an hour long. So as long as it's under an hour, I maybe could fit it onto the show. But yeah, it definitely would have to be like under an hour for me to even download or upload it into my show. But join me tomorrow, same time, same place, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm a loss for words. I'm just so humbly grateful that y'all still be rocking with me. You know, even when I be gone for long periods of time, y'all still just show up and show out like I never left. And I'm humbly, when I say humbly grateful, I do not take y'all loyalty for granted at all, period. But before I get out of here, I'm going to leave y'all with my thought of the night. And my thought of the night is this: never allow for someone to hold your hand to lead you, because we are not followers. We are all leaders in our own business. If they're going to hold your hand, make sure they're holding your hand to walk alongside with you and not having you trail behind them, walk into another situation that is meant just for them. Make sure that it's meant for the both of y'all. So with that being said, love, peace, and blessings. Pray before you lay. I love y'all, and good night.